Go.
This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. And remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 462. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, you want to start a company, so when exactly should you quit your day job, and how do you find the money actually to do that? Here to help is Sean Wise, who helps emerging and high-growth potential organizations jump on the trajectory and turn a profit. He's been involved in venture capital and entrepreneurship professionally for 19 years, first as director of the Venture Capital Advisor Group at Ernst & Young, and next as partner in Spencer Trask's seed program, and most recently spending five seasons with CBC's Dragon's Den. He's got a new book out with Brad Feld. It's called Startup Opportunities, Know When to Quit Your Day Job. Sean, welcome to the show, and Merry Christmas.
And all the best of the holiday seasons to you, Barry. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, because I think this is a big question for a lot of folks that are eager to start a business. When is the best time to quit your day job?
So you know what's interesting, Barry, is that question has been asked for decades. And for most of the last few decades, people believed you needed to do it early. You needed to show commitment. You needed to bet it all. You needed to sell the kids the science, mortgage the house, use the retirement savings. But that's changed in the last decade and a half. And now we tell people, don't quit your day job until you have enough third-party proofs, enough objective data, enough traction to justify to your spouse that this is a better move for you and your family. So the good news is you can quit much, much later.
And so has this changed really, Sean, because it is now more acceptable, as they say, to have a side gig or a side hustle?
You know what? I don't think that's necessarily the only factor driving it. In the last 30 years, I've been a venture capitalist since the late 90s. And in the 90s, if we wanted to launch an online jewelry store, you had to have a great jewelry, and then you had to have a great store and a great merchant engine, and you had to know how to find customers. And it cost you about $5 million and about 2 years to discover that nobody wanted your jewelry. Now, today, because of all the internet infrastructure, because of the numbers of people on the internet, because of the ease to go online and create a store, create a business, that cost has dropped from $5 million to $500,000 in about 2007 to about $50,000 in 2017, and it's now on its way to below $5,000. So my nephew, with a cup of coffee from Starbucks, a laptop, and a Shopify account, can create the same amazing store that I could have created in 1997 for $5 million, and he can do it in 45 minutes.
So because
the costs have dropped so low, you don't have to throw it all away. You don't have to give up your career as a doctor to go explore your world of creating unique gnomes for gardens. You can do both. And that's why I think this side hustle has really taken off, because people want that freedom. People want to see if this can fly, you know, before they quit. And so the side hustle allows them to do that.
So it's a lot easier to go out there and to start a business because the barriers to entry are really low. But what you're talking about is before you quit your day job, have third-party proof. So tell us more about what that means and what that looks like.
Well, a long time ago, when you needed $5 million, there were these gatekeepers, these venture capitalists, and they would wait until you were ready, your company was at a certain stage, and then they would invest for growth. Well, if you don't need $5 million, but you only need $5,000, maybe those gatekeepers aren't as important anymore. And that means that you can get started right away. And why we say wait for proof is because we've switched the investor's role, you know, blessing the idea with a check, for the customer's role, blessing the idea with a pre-order. You just have to look to the explosive success of Kickstarter to look at how people are bringing products to the market in new ways. You know, they're getting the sales first and then building the product. And now while that has its own difficulties along the way, it definitely is more accessible.
Because if someone is actually voting with their dollars, it's probably much better than an investor putting in money. If a customer is actually putting in money to get a product, that's real proof there.
Well, there's three things that are better when a customer helps you than when an investor supports you. One, this person is your end user. You know, I'm a VC, but I'm also a father. I'm also a professor. So I am part of certain customer groups, but I'm not part of every customer group that I invest in. Whereas if you go to your customers, you're able to get more than just money. You're able to get feedback. You're able to get support. You're able to also be able to have a focus group with your future users who can help you avoid big mistakes. And finally, and probably the most important of all, one person can only tweet so much. Like, I only have so many Twitter followers. But if I have 10,000 pre-sales on Kickstarter, then I have 10,000 evangelists just waiting to support my launch. And that beats an investor any day.
We're talking with Dr. Sean Wise. He's the co-author of a book called Startup Opportunities, Know When to Quit Your Day Job. One of the things you talk about in the book is that something that everyone gets wrong about startups. What is that, Sean?
Well, there's so much that people get wrong about startups. I think that people think them too much. They sit around and they try to get them perfect and they try to write these long business plans. That's really a 1990s approach. In this decade, it's all about quick assumptions on a lean canvas, which is like a mini business plan. Go into the market, work with customers, prove your assumptions, modify them, pivot them as is required, and then grow the business. So we've really moved from this, you know, ready, aim, fire to this ready, fire, aim. And I think that that's something that people still get wrong. People like myself who went to business school in the 90s, got an MBA, you know, they're still thinking that I need 400 hours in my mom's basement to write the perfect business plan, and that'll make me successful. Well, it won't. In 20 years of working with entrepreneurs, I've never seen a business plan executed exactly. Even the most successful businesses have pivoted along the way, right? Viagra, you know, a product you know, Barry.
Of course.
Not used for what it was originally researched and developed for. So,
was that for growing hair? What was Viagra originally used for?
A heart medication.
Heart medication,
but,
sorry.
And I'm not saying it doesn't get your heart going.
That's right.
A different conversation. But today, people still get wrong that they need an investor to bless them, that they need a perfect plan. Good today beats great tomorrow.
Do you think that's why millennials are really primed to be very disruptive in this business environment?
So I think that's one of the key reasons why millennials are prime. They're much more comfortable with unfinished products. They've grown up in an internet age. They've grown up with Kickstarter. They're much more collaborative with the producers of their products. You look at YouTube, and you know, it's all consumer produced, right? It's all end users producing it. I think that's one of the reasons. I think the other reason is that millennials are facing a very different economic picture to the ones that baby boomers faced. And they're really seeing a lack of options, whether that be options to have the American dream of a white picket fence and own your own home, or options of having, you know, one job for life, or any of those things. I think a lot like our immigrant and our newcomer entrepreneurs, they're faced with a choice. They can either accept the reality that their parents have built them, or they can build their own. And a lot of millennials are choosing to build their own and not comply to what we used to think was the economic dream.
Now, you're based up in Canada. You spent a lot of time with both Canadian and American entrepreneurs. Do you see a difference?
I do. Having worked on Dragon's Den, which is the Canadian version of Shark Tank, and having known that Dragon's Den is in more than 20 countries around the world, I'm able to see that the culture of entrepreneurship, the sort of norms that people comply with, are very different. Canadians are much softer speaking, much more apologetic, much more based on facts, and conservative estimates, where our southern neighbors tend to be more bombastic, more moonshot focused, more swing for the fences.
Well, look at our president. Look at our president, Sean. We're just trying to emulate him.
Well, I don't want to look at your president at all.
That's right.
But you know what? You look at that. You look at the culture of entrepreneurship in Israel. You look at the culture of entrepreneurship in England. You look at the culture that's emerging in entrepreneurship in Africa. And you can really tell that this is a global phenomenon, although, like you say, each country and each culture has a little bit of a different take. They all think about the same thing, that tomorrow can be better today, that we can work together to build a startup, a new venture that can address some unmet market needs and make the world a little better.
Do you think, Sean, that other countries have more of a fear of failure than perhaps Canadians and Americans have, and that holds them back?
I think Canadians are unfortunately plagued with a fear of failure. You know, in the U.S., when I see an entrepreneur who's failed 3 or 4 times to be successful as a startup, I say that guy is waiting to succeed. He's learned his lessons. He's ready to go. He's actually more fundable to some people. In Canada, when you fail a startup 2 or 3 times, they say, welcome to the government. Go work here. So we have a terrible fear of failure. It's something that I try to change with my young boys, Edison and Max Marley. But it's a long term, whereas the Israelis have the opposite. Because of their culture, right. They embrace failure. They congratulate you for it. And in fact, it's a badge of honor there that people try to get, not as much as they try to get the million-dollar exit, but that they wear proudly. Whereas in Canada, people are a little more timid. In the U.S., they're a little more comfortable with it. But yeah, fear of failure is definitely a cultural norm.
Well, Sean, appreciate you being on the show. The title of the book is Startup Opportunities, Know When to Quit Your Day Job. Coming up, how do you go from stockroom employee at a grocery store to a tech executive with no college degree? Is AM560 the answer? Right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, Merry Christmas Eve. I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadways. Only one problem. It's in West Chicago where there's a crash at Joliet Street and Wycliffe Drive. Now, later on today, you will see additional traffic on Lakeshore Drive as a lot of fans headed to the Bears game against the winless Cleveland Browns. Kickoff is at noon, so I would expect around 10:30, 11 o'clock, you start to see some heavy conditions around Soldier Field. If you are thinking of taking public transit, don't forget that TTA's 128, 130, and 146 buses stop at the stadium, and there is some pace. Soldier Field Express buses that will be operating towards the stadium. Now, if you do drive, do keep in mind it will be snowing. Winter weather advisory is in effect until 6. We are expecting a lot of snow, so it will create a hassle on the roadways. In fact, even northwest Indiana, winter storm warnings in effect as well. Anywhere from 2 to 7 inches around the area. Some snow all day. Right now, it's 20 degrees at O'Hare. That's traffic on AM 560. The answer.
Christmas is just days away. And this year, give the gift of sunshine. Grab your passport to paradise and join Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson at the Secrets Maroma Beach Riviera Cancun in beautiful Riviera Maya, Mexico. It's an unlimited luxury all suites adults only resort with all the amenities you can imagine. Give this trip as a gift to a loved one or treat yourself this holiday season. Visit 560theanswer.com and search for the keyword passport. Presented by Joe Cotton Ford and Arlington Heights Heating and Cooling. Si, señor.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications.
Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
Hey, it's Jason Benetti for ready.illinois.gov with a message for the thousands of Illinoisans with functional needs. Needless to say, everyone needs to have an emergency disaster plan and disaster kit, but that plan and kit may look a lot different for those with functional needs. Learn how to make a plan and a kit that best serves your needs and the needs of your family and even your pets. At ready.illinois.gov, there's tips for caregivers and seniors, too. Make a plan and make a kit. Find out how at ready.illinois.gov. That's ready.illinois.gov.
Sponsored by IEMA.
America's veterans are more than a source of pride. They're a source of strength. When our veterans thrive, our communities thrive. With your support, our veterans can get career and education opportunities as well as benefits they've earned.
Hi, I'm Congresswoman Robin Kelly. Join me in thanking our nation's veterans. They've given so much. Find out how you can support veterans in our community.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moults. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
So how do you go from a stockroom employee at a grocery store to a tech executive with no college training. My next guest did just that. Lorenzo Gomez III is a CEO of Geekdom, the executive director of the 8020 Foundation, and a former executive at Rackspace. Got a new book out called The Cilantro Diaries. Lorenzo, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
So the first question is, how do you do that? It's like kind of like going from the mailroom to the executive suite.
Well, I'll tell you, first off, it was a long journey, and it didn't happen overnight. And I would say that the short answer to me would be, it was really about how I was able to leverage the relationships I had in my life, and how I found very quickly in my career that people's reputations was a currency, and I was able to trade off of other people's currency to give me a shot. And then I just really went out of my way to not make them look bad once they had vouched for me. And and one of the principles in the book is, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I think that what you know is important after you get the job, but it's really about relationships. And you know, I always tell people that I'm mentoring, who would vouch for you right now, right? Who would pick up the phone and put their reputation on the line for you? And I think that was how I was able to get at least in a position to take a couple of swings.
So what is the best way, Lorenzo, I guess, to build those relationships so later on you can leverage them?
Well, I think that in hindsight, one of the big principles in the book is creating a personal board of directors. And I just realized that if I look back on my career, I had accidentally assembled a personal board. And this was just people that I looked up to, people that were more knowledgeable than me in a lot of areas that I could call for guidance or call for expertise, and really kind of deputizing certain people to give you the hard feedback when you need it, or really to be vulnerable around, to ask the big questions and to kind of share your insecurities with, to say, hey, I really don't know what to do right now. And once I really got to the level where I am today, I just realized that all of the successful people I've met, they actually have a personal board, whether they would call it that or not. And I just realized, man, if I would have gone about it earlier in my career and been more intentional about it, I think I would have done it faster, or I would have done it with less body count than I had.
So do you think that when people go to college and they want to go into business, it's kind of a waste, but they really should spend most of their time building relationships right off?
Well, I think that one of the things that is a disservice to the students in college is that in college, you're really trained to be the lone wolf, right? You study by yourself, you take the test by yourself. And once you enter the corporate world, that's really where you get bonus points by partnering with people. And you can get ahead by assembling a team of people that have strengths that you don't have. It's the whole, you know, Gallup Strength Finders methodology is built on this very thing. And I think that it's not that college or university is a waste. It's just that a lot of times they're not teaching the way that it really goes down once you get in, you know, in the Thunderdome. And I think that students need to know, hey, you need to assemble people on your personal board that can help you out when you don't have the answer. Whereas in college, that's considered cheating, right? But in the professional world, that's actually being smart.
Yeah, I think that business schools start to get it right when they have a lot more collaboration. But is that the reason you dropped out of college?
No, actually, you know, so I didn't really come from a background where we had the means to send me to college, and I was kind of an average student, and so I didn't get any scholarships. So I had to work to pay my way through college. And so when I graduated high school, I was working to pay my way, and then I started attending classes at the local community college here in San Antonio. And I remember there was just a couple things that stood out. The first one was, I remember sitting in a class and having a professor say, you know, read pages 1 to 120 and come back. And I had two thoughts. The first one was, I just paid $90 for this book, and I felt robbed. And the second thing was, if all you're going to teach me is read pages 1 to 120, what do I need you for? And I just felt so discouraged by this whole process, which was go do your thing, come back, and maybe we'll talk about it. And I said, I can do that on my own. I don't need to pay you $2,500 of my own money to figure this out. And so, you know, I really just started working, and I would read books that had to do with the work I was doing. And I started finding that it was fun. It was fun for me to read about Net Promoter Score and then apply it and then say, oh, this works. And what happened later in my career is I got a job at Rackspace, which back then we didn't know if it was going to survive or not. It was just this crazy startup downtown, and it was the first tech company in San Antonio. And I was the seventh account manager. At the time, I was kind of the only single guy with nothing going on. So I got offered a job to move to the UK very early in my career there. And that was actually the pivotal point where I said, you know what, if I want to take this once in a lifetime opportunity, I just need to just drop out and take this chance, because I think in my gut, I will learn just as many good skills, if not more. And that's what I did.
We're talking with Lorenzo Gomez III. He's the author of a book called The Cilantro Diaries. And there aren't too many books out there, small business books, that are named after alcohol. So where does the name come from?
Well, the name comes from the first two jobs I had in my career were working at a grocery store. The second job was the more prominent grocery store in South Texas and in Mexico called HEB. And, everybody has their local neighborhood HEB they go to. And there are seven kids in my family, and six of the seven all worked at this one HEB near my house. And so it was kind of the Gomez legacy to work there. And I had got a big promotion for me into the produce department. And I thought I was the coolest guy that ever walked the earth once I got that promotion. And it was so cool. And so I was working in produce. This one day where the title of the book comes from is I actually wasn't at the store that day. I was at home doing my homework, and my mom came home and she was very excited about something. And so I was helping her unload the groceries, and she said, "Oh my gosh, mijo, I was at your HEB today and I was shopping, and there it was. I saw it right above the cilantro. I saw your picture." And I thought, "Oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing." And she said, "I'm so proud of you." And I had this mixed reaction in my head, because I was kind of happy, but I was mostly embarrassed. And I thought, man, this is the worst thing ever. And in my head, I was thinking to myself, I'm not going out like this. The pinnacle of my career will not be having my picture above the cilantro at a grocery store. And so I kind of made a subtle shift in my mindset that day that went, you know, if I'm going to do something, I want to do something worthy of having my picture on the wall, if in fact that's what I want. And so that's really where the title of the book came from, was I always told the stories when I was going up the ranks at Rackspace about my time, the cilantro stories or the grocery store stories that I kind of picked up along the way.
I guess it's a little better, Lorenzo, than being in the back of the milk carton, right?
Yeah. It certainly wouldn't have been better if I was stocking diapers in the general merchandise aisle.
Exactly. So what advice do you give to entrepreneurs that don't want to follow the standard route, perhaps, of going to college and going to business school?
Well, I just think that there are so many people that I've met now at the, you know, at the place I am right now in my career, which is heavily involved with startups, running two organizations for a very successful entrepreneur. And I just, there's some commonalities. I think the first one is I've noticed that a lot of the most successful people are really lifelong learners. And I think that we have been taught that the only way to learn is in the setting of the university. But I have found that lifelong learners do it their own way. Some of them will just, you know, listen to Audible books. Some of them only do book summaries. Some of them will, you know, do it exclusively through podcasts and YouTube videos. And I just think that it's really the whole concept of you need to never stop learning. And specifically, how do you take that learning, those learnings, and apply it into what you're doing right now in your business, in your company? Because that's really what makes people, that's really what separates the people that get stagnant and stall. But then lastly, when you get stuck, because you will get stuck, who do you pick up the phone and call for your counsel? Who is the Jedi counsel, right, that you shoot the bat signal up and go, man, I need help. There's no way for me to figure out, and there's no YouTube video that's going to solve this problem.
And I think that's the key, because time and time again, small business owners say one of the most important things that make a difference in their business is to have the right mentor. Where do you find that person in the last minute we have?
Well, I think that, you know, I think that a lot of it has to do with so many times people think that a mentor has to be someone that's done it all, that's sold the company. But a mentor can really come from anywhere. It can be someone who has an expertise or is even four or five steps ahead of you. But I think that the big value is finding someone that you trust that can actually push back on you and speak the hard truths when you need to hear them.
I think that's really important. So, Lorenzo, where can we find more about the book and get in touch with you?
If you Google Cilantro Diaries, or if you go to Amazon, you can find it. It's paperback and in Kindle. And also, I have a Facebook and Twitter account for the book that as people send me notes and things that that resonate with them, I post them online as soon as I get it.
All right, LG3, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Coming up next, we look at issues that small business owners will face in 2018 and how to live up to those challenges. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Larry Elder prepares Republicans for what's to come.
Now, the reason that Al Franken was pressured into resigning is because they want to use the argument that Trump has had allegations against him. And their argument's going to be, we're cleaning up our house. We're getting rid of our miscreants. You're adding to yours. You've got Trump. You've got Roy Moore. We've got the high ground here. That's why Al Franken was thrown under the bus.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9 on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. Lawmakers now on a holiday break after pushing through a tax reform plan and a short-term spending bill last week, but they'll have a lot on their plates when they return in the new year.
They're facing a new funding deadline of January 19th. They also need to work on a disaster relief package, as well as DACA protections for illegal immigrants brought here as children.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. Homeland Security learning more about Ahmed Amin Amin al-Mafti, the suspect in a series of shootings Friday in Harrisburg.
Local District Attorney Ed Marisco tells Fox that al-Mafti was believed to be Egyptian and that he returned from the Middle East in October. He says a primary aspect of this investigation is learning if al-Mafti had any links to terrorism. Mental health issues are also being investigated.
Fox's David Lee Miller. Al-Mafti was shot and killed after firing several times at law enforcement officials. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadways. And as you head out and about on this Christmas Eve, do keep in mind a winter weather advisory is in effect until 6 this evening, with a winter storm warning in northwest Indiana. Up to 7 inches of snow could fall. As you're traveling around, no accidents, no delays. In fact, the only incident that we could have had was quickly cleared off the expressways inbound on the dam ride in the locals and 63rd. It was a crash that's been moved to the exit ramp. This update sponsored by True Car. Looking to buy a car, online shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for the car you want and see what other people pay for it too. When you're ready to buy your new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. As we just mentioned, winter weather advisory till 6 for most of the listening area. Winter storm warning in northwest Indiana. Up to 7 inches could fall today. Right now it's 20 degrees at O'Hare. And that's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
I'm Dan Prof.
And I'm Amy Jacobson.
And our 2017 Food for the Poor campaign is already underway, and you can be a part of it.
That's right. For just $50, you can provide food for a year and water for life for a child in the Caribbean and Latin America. That's all it takes. You know, I had the chance to travel with Food for the Poor to Haiti last July to see for myself the work that they do, and it was a life-changing trip. The level of poverty in places like Haiti is just unbelievable, which is why Food for the Poor is such an important organization. Food for the Poor is a nonprofit, faith-based organization that provides food, water, medicine, clothing, and life-saving supplies directly to local organizations throughout the Caribbean and Latin America. Now, these are places that have been devastated by poverty, disease, and natural disasters like hurricanes. To make the gift, just call 844-862-4673. That's 844-862-4673.
Or visit 560theanswer.com/food. That's 560theanswer.com/food. And thank you in advance for your generosity.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
So this is the time of year where we look at what challenges do small business owners face in 2018. Microsoft has a new survey out that shares the results. Here to talk about it is Todd Miner, who's a senior small business lead for Microsoft Store, covering the U.S., Canada, and Australia. Todd, welcome to the show, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Barry. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about some of the top-line results that you found in this survey of small business owners in their attitude towards 2018, sorry. Yeah. We don't want to go back 10 years.
Yes, 2018. Well, at the Microsoft Store, you know, we're proud to be customer obsessed. So we wanted to listen to our small business owners and entrepreneurs about what they are, you know, again, as you put, like what they're looking forward to in 2018. What we found is that many of them are introducing a new product or service. They're thinking about new marketing strategies and techniques, which was really neat to see if they want to give back to their local communities. About 90% of the respondents said that they plan to hire 1 to 2 new people, which shows like great optimism to small business owners right now.
And so we're 10 years past the end of the last recession, or at least 9 years. So what you're saying is that small business owners are still really showing incredible optimism about next year.
Yes. I mean, that's what the survey results, you know, have told us. I'm really excited about that optimism, and we look forward to helping those small businesses achieve more. And you know, the upcoming year.
So what surprised you most about the results?
Listen, as I travel all over the world and all of our store locations, I have opportunities to meet small business owners. There are always so much passion and drive and ambition. And the fact that they were able to balance, and they, you know, 80% of the survey respondents said they had great work-life balance. The fact that they were able to kind of integrate their personal life and work life and have balance, that was very impactful for me, and it was exciting to hear.
And so what challenges did they talk about in the survey results, Todd?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of optimism, but there still are challenges. You know, a few of them were, you know, protecting and managing company data. That was top of mind. For businesses less than a year old, budget was still a big challenge. And nearly half of the businesses that we surveyed, you know, talked about staying ahead of the rapid changes in technology. I mean, this was particular interest to us at the Microsoft Store because we feel like we could help, you know, ease some of that anxiety, but that was still a challenge.
And I think the utilization of the right technology is really key because it really can be a huge benefit to your business if you use the right technology, the right integrated technology. But if you use the wrong one, Todd, I really think it can hold you back.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, every small business is different, and, you know, it's important that you always apply the right tool to the problem that you have. So I completely agree. So, you know, I recommend the small business owners and entrepreneurs to always reach out and get, you know, support from a trusted advisor. You know, again, at the Microsoft Store, I don't want to sound too repetitive. You know, we have, you know, dedicated small business team in our stores that, you know, are part of the local fabric of the community. They're members of the Chamber of Commerce and other business influencer groups, and they're really trained to help small businesses, again, apply that right tool to the task.
And so a lot of times people are hesitant to come in and use a variety of resources because they say, you know, they're too small or what I need isn't going to match what you guys can offer. What advice do you have for those owners?
I think, you know, that's a great question, Barry. I think the first thing I would say is, you know, part of the reason we invested in our physical stores is because Microsoft wanted a place to showcase all of the different innovation that can help all different businesses, all shapes and sizes. So whether it's a Microsoft store or one of the Microsoft certified partners or any different avenue for small business, I encourage you to go out there and be proud of what you're offering and what you're trying to achieve and leverage the resources that are there.
Well, I have to tell you that I'm a really big convert to the Microsoft Surface, and I actually was a huge user of the Apple iPad, but the Surface does everything and more. So I think for small business owners, they're used to be working on a variety of conditions. That's the piece of hardware that I would like to start with.
Yes, yeah, so I'm glad that you're using the Surface. We're really proud of that. You know, two-in-one device, it's the best tablet PC that you're going to have. But I would also say that we introduced a new product called Microsoft 365. And this product is something that we're really proud of because it really addressed a lot of, you know, some of the pain and the concern that we heard from our small business survey. You know, one specifically around protecting and managing company data. Microsoft 365 Business gives you all of the productivity software that you're used to, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, and et cetera, but it also provides a small business owner the ability to manage their associates' data on their own device. So they could add permissions for data, remove permissions. They could even wipe data from a remote user's device with just the click of a toggle. That's a product that we're really excited about, matched with like the Surface.
Huge. And I'm a big user of Microsoft Business 365 because it integrates all the applications you need actually in one place and shares all the data. And that's a big pet peeve of mine is you can have a lot of applications, Todd, but if they don't talk to each other, it's a problem. Where can people get more information about the survey and the Microsoft stores?
I would love for your listeners to start at Microsoft.com/locations. Find the local store to you, head into the store and work with one of our business sales specialists.
Todd, thanks for being on the show. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Kanika Lee, taking a look at traffic. In West Chicago, there's a crash on Joliet and Wycliffe Drive. And if you're driving through Elgin, look out because there's water on the streets on McLean and Erie. And in the Gold Coast area of Chicago, there's a crash on Oak and LaSalle. On the expressways, it's quiet on the Edens. It's 19 minutes to and from Montrose. The Kennedy is wide open and clear. Headed in, it is 20 minutes from the airport, 8 in the express lanes and 10 from Montrose. Headed out is 10 minutes to Montrose and 20 to the airport. On the Stevenson and the Ike is all delay free. And on the Dan Ryan, the Bishop Court and I-57, that's 15 minutes apiece. And the weather is 22 degrees and cloudy with a high of 25 and snow and a low of 17. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMaltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Welcome back. You know, you and I are very much alike. During my many years of running my own company, I had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. For me, it was the moment of truth, and it was a painful realization. My business had flatlined, and I had no idea how to breathe new life into it. Does this sound familiar to you? You know, it was especially difficult for me since my customers were not getting the service I was so passionate about delivering to them. Secondly, and probably most importantly, I wasn't making any money. Finally, my stuck business literally was sucking the life out of me. This was not exactly the way that I thought my business would turn out after reading all of those books. Well, it's kind of normal, sort of. During the life cycle of every single business owner, they get stuck from time to time. Do any of these things sound familiar? Take a listen. Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. It doesn't get much more frustrating than this. You have few new leads to customers coming in, and customers keep just fading away. You're burned out, and you're completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family is starting to suffer as well. You got to get off the roller coaster. I know what it's like to ride this entrepreneurial roller coaster. I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be like that. I've had my ups and downs, and I finally cracked the code at getting unstuck and moving your business forward. Over the years, I have worked with hundreds of corporations and small business clients to help identify the sticking points in their systems so they can take their business to the next level. Throughout the decades of running my own businesses, I've identified 6 major areas where almost every small business inevitably gets stuck. This is the year that your business gets unstuck. As you journey through my breakthrough training series, I'm going to show you fast and easy and permanent solutions to get unstuck. Each module includes a guided PowerPoint presentation, a voice recording of me presenting this materials in front of a live audience, downloadable lesson notes, downloadable homework assignments, and audio recordings of the 100 best of Business Insanity Talk Radio over the last 5 years. Whether you learn best by watching, listening, or reading, there is a format for you. I've made it very easy for you to absorb the material and develop a clear plan of action of moving forward. There are 6 steps to a better business. This is what I'm going to guarantee you throughout this course. First module is about find new customers and grow the ones you got. You know the drill. When business is booming, you ignore sales and marketing. And then business slows down. And as a result, you go do sales and marketing. This is a hamster wheel to nowhere. Your business remains flatline and stuck as long as you stay on what I call the double helix treadmill. I'll show you how to grow your business by tossing out the old paradigms and traditional sales techniques through my easy-to-follow, step-by-step guide. I'm going to show you how to increase the revenue of your business without ever having to sell again. Module number 2 is finding money to manage your business. Because guess what? It's already there. As a small business owner, there's a great joke. It says, I sleep like a baby. I go to bed early and wake up at midnight screaming my head off. Does that sound familiar? Cash flow keeps a lot of small business owners up at night. We've all felt the crunch of following the Great Recession. Cash flow has slowed to a trickle. Bank financing is almost impossible. And customers, well, they're just taking longer to pay their bills. I have found that only 5% of small business owners actually understand the secrets to overcoming the cash crunch. Learning this module will always have cash to run your business. Module number three, building a team that lasts. One of the most difficult elements of growing a business is hiring and then holding on to the right employees. A good rule of thumb is to be slow to hire and quick to fire. Unfortunately, not many business owners follow this advice. Instead, they hire the first person that fits the role. Then when the employee doesn't work out, they hesitate to fire them, no matter how many team members think they are incompetent. I'm going to show you how to effectively hire, train, manage, and fire people to maximize the leverage in your business. Module number four, customer service is the new marketing. While this may surprise you, the truth is that customer service is your biggest marketing tool. In this age of social media, traditional advertising really has become meaningless, and people are looking for earned media based on buyers' recommendations. In this module, I'll teach you how to create an effective customer service manifesto so your customer can be served at every level of your organization. Module number five, you got to break that social media addiction. It's no secret. The World Wide Web can be a worldwide waste of time. Most small businesses have no idea what they're doing. I'll show you how to make sure you use social media as your new marketing voodoo. Module number six, the real trick to all of this is boosting your productivity. Recent studies have indicated that multitasking can cause brain damage. At the very least, it prevents you from doing what you do best. It certainly doesn't allow you to get things done effectively. You see, here's the thing. Your employees will mimic the way you work. You could soon have a team filled with inefficient, multitasking workers all running around chasing their tails. Get the picture. I'm going to uncover ways to get more done in half the time. I'm going to make sure that you're productive, not just busy. If you want to be part of this wonderful program, go to www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Use the special value code 50 off WIND and get 50% off the price. You'll learn the exact steps you need to take today to move your business to the next level. I guarantee it. So if this is the year that you are really committed to getting your business unstuck and you still have some questions about how it can absolutely positively change the way you do business, give me a call. I make available to all our business listeners a 15-minute free audit of your business and how I can help you get unstuck. The number is 773-837-8250, available to the first five callers. I guarantee this is your year.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Have pain you can't ignore? Then try first-in-class relief from SalonPass. SalonPass pain relief patches have everything you need in one clinically proven solution. They're the strongest label pain reliever available without a prescription. Safely relieving pain for up to 12 hours. And SalonPass is the first and only FDA-approved OTC topical pain reliever. For first-in-class relief, get SalonPass pain relief patches in the green box with a blue wave.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
My next guest is Greg Centenejo. He has followed a path of entrepreneurship. Through his achievements, he has mastered the art and psychology of what moves people to believe in an idea, invest in an idea, and commit their time and energy to help create the idea. Greg's groundbreaking project, Legends of Oz, Dorothy Returns, illustrate his immense skills by raising $122 million through 1,400 investors. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, Barry. Thanks a lot. Great to be with you.
That seems like an incredible achievement. What was the Legends of Oz, and how did you create how did you raise $122 million through 1,400 investors?
Well, that's $122 million question, my friend. That was very difficult, to say the least. Not only that, we were dealing with some very difficult times. It was during the economic recession of 2008 through 13 that we had to do that. And it was really, that was all about a mindset. It was all about believing in what we were doing, being confident about what we were attempting to do, having conviction about it, and leading it with passion.
But just because you have a mindset or a great attitude or passion doesn't mean you're going to be successful.
It definitely doesn't. But, you know, what is success, Barry, right? Success is when you can attract large numbers of people to a common goal. That's success, because people are what create. People are what achieve, right? So when you have something that's monumental, an idea, a lot of times it doesn't go into existence because you don't have anybody to help you move it into existence. You don't have the right people. So what draws people, you know, what attracts people to an idea? Every idea that started, you know, most ideas are preposterous, but you know, they walked on the moon. We're on our way to Mars in 4 years. It's because you move people to a point of action, and you know, you don't always succeed, but you sure start to will something into existence. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, Greg, so how did you do that? I mean, I think that people look at your mindset and they'll reflect your mindset. How do you make sure that you're unwavering so you can get to that successful place?
Man, great question. So, first of all, you know, when that idea came to me as an idea, I looked at it. I consulted a lot of friends and family on that, and they all said, "Don't do it. It never happened. It's impossible. You'll never raise any money in this marketplace." But the point was, my mindset was the idea was awesome, and I wasn't going to let the environment dictate, you know, whether I would try or not try. Success wasn't really part of it. We would tell investors and our own team plays, we're probably not going to succeed at this. But the mindset was, we're willing to try. You know, I would always say, I didn't wake up every day from 2008 to 2013 thinking that we were going to raise $100 million plus. I didn't, but I woke up every day determined to try. And that's the mindset. And in my mind, I always say, Barry, there's basically a language barrier, or there's two languages that everybody speaks, one or the other, I should say. It's the language of can, and it's the language of can't. And both of them are right. If you think you
can. That's right, exactly.
You know, I just determine, I wake up every day with the idea that I can. It doesn't mean my head's in the sand. I look at the obstacles. I look at the odds. But if I believe in it, and I'm confident and have conviction about getting up and trying to do it, that I'm going to get up and I'm going to have a can attitude every single day. And people are drawn to that.
Yeah, Greg, we got to leave it right there because we're out of time. Thanks for being on the show. I want to thank everyone else for joining us. I want to thank our sponsors, Nextiva. If you're serious about being more successful this year, you got to give me a call, 773-837-8250. Or email me at barry@maltz.com. Remember, love everyone, trust the few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
This message is for all of you.